Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Graced Up Co podcast. I am Grace, your host here, and I'm back with another episode in the new podcast series that we've been on for the past 2 weeks. Yeah, today is going to be the third week. And if you've been following, we are on this podcast series where we are sharing life lessons from the Old Testament. And today I'm back with another exciting episode. I'm so glad that you all have been enjoying the lessons and conversing and sharing your experiences and just having fun with us. I'm so excited about this podcast series, and I'm also so excited about the feedback that we've been receiving. Thank you so much for listening, for sharing, for engaging in our Instagram post. I really, really love the engagement that is going on over on there. Thank you, thank you. We'll just jump right into today's episode because I don't want it to be too long. I just want to hit the nail on the head and leave you guys to absorb and ruminate over the lessons that we'll be sharing today. So today's episode is "You Can Eat Your Cake and Have It." That's the title of today's episode. You can eat your cake and have it. You might be familiar with the English idiomatic proverb that says, "You can't eat your cake and have it." Or some says, "You can't have your cake and eat it." Whichever one you have, whichever one you know, rather. But the meaning of that proverb is that you cannot simultaneously retain your cake and eat it. Like, once the cake is eaten, it is gone. You cannot have two incompatible things together. You can't have it both ways. You can't have the best of both worlds. That's like the meaning of that idiomatic proverb. You can't eat your cake and have it. But in today's episode, I'm here to tell you that you can. You can eat your cake and have it. So with this introduction, can you guess who the main character of today's episode is? Once again, go back to our Instagram and let us know there. Let us know, who do you think we're talking about today, in today's episode? There are many right answers for this question, but there is one main character that we'll be talking about today. So who do you think that person is? Let the guesses start rolling in. All right, so let's dive right into what we're talking about today. We'll basically be sharing about trade-offs, whether it's in a good way or not so good way. And our main character today is Jochebed. That's Moses' mother. And the scripture for today is going to be in Exodus chapter 1 and Exodus chapter 2. In Exodus chapter 1, it was the beginning of a new era. I will not be reading that part, but I'll just give you a backstory. Joseph had died. Now, we know Joseph, he came into Egypt as a slave, and then he became a prime minister. And because of his presence in Egypt, the Israelites were able to migrate into Egypt, and they were treated really well because of Joseph. But Joseph died, and the Pharaoh that was in the time of Joseph also died. And then now there is a new Pharaoh. And this new Pharaoh saw the Israelites as slaves and enemies, and they treated them as such. The Israelite women, on the other hand, were very fertile, and they kept giving birth. They kept multiplying. And that, again, was a problem for Pharaoh, because it looks like a threat to Pharaoh. Like, why are these children? But why are these women just giving birth? In Exodus chapter 1 from verse 15, Pharaoh spoke to the Hebrew wives and told them that whenever a Hebrew woman gave birth to a male child, they should kill them. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let her live. But the midwives feared God, and they refused to obey the king's order. They allowed the boys to live. So Pharaoh again called the midwives. Why have you done this? Why have you allowed the boys to live? And the midwife said, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are more vigorous, and they have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. So Pharaoh gave another order. And he since he said that, since he saw that the midwives were not listening to him, he now told his people that they should throw away every newborn Hebrew boy that they find. They should throw that boy into the Nile River, but they should allow the girls to live. So with that order that Pharaoh gave to kill all male children, I'm sure that was going on. Anyone, any mom, any woman that gives birth to a male child knows that my son is going to be killed. And maybe from even birth, from the moment she's pushing that baby out, she already knows that this is going to be the end, and she's already crying and wailing. But in Exodus chapter 2, Joshabad, which is Moses' mom, gave birth to a son, Moses. And she saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the banks of Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I would pay you for your help." So the woman took the baby home and nursed him. Later, when the baby was older, his mother brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." So, from what I've read now, all I can see, like, immediately I read this scripture, the first thing that came to my head is, you can eat your cake and have it. Like, there are no trade-offs with God, and we're going to be dissecting that and bringing it home. So let's start with our first lesson. Like I shared in the first two episodes, God is always working and is always looking for someone who would partner with him here on earth. We saw with Noah, we saw with Jonah, like there was always a need that God, that there was always a need on earth, and God was looking for someone who would listen to him, who would obey him and help him to solve the need, basically. So that's the same vibe even today. We know God as a provider, we know God as a protector, we know God as our comforter, and so much more. But every single time God wants to do something on earth, he needs an extension of himself here on earth to be either a provider or a protector to someone. Let's look at an example. So let's say that you are praying for a new job, and you've been praying for a new job, like, "God, I need a job. My current job is not paying well, or the environment is toxic, or I've not even been, I've been out of job for so long. I've been job searching for so long." And you're praying, each time you're praying, like, that's your number one request. You're crying to God, "God, please answer me. God, please help me. This is a new year. This is a new month. I don't want to continue this way." And God wants to answer that prayer, but he cannot come from heaven to earth and open a company so that he can hire you. So what God does, for example, is that he speaks to someone, maybe someone in your circle, or someone in your circle, or someone that you know, or someone that knows someone that knows someone that you know. God speaks to that person because that person probably has either a new opening at their office, or the person is aware of a new job, or the person's own company has a role that he needs someone to fit, and you seem like a best fit for that role. And God speaks to that person to send you a message and tell you about that job opening. And fast forward, you get the job. You're so happy. You're thanking God and you're sharing the testimony. But God did not come down to earth to do anything. Instead, he used an extension of himself here on earth to provide you that job. And that's basically what we are here on earth for. I'm just going to take a pause and just talk a little bit about this, about us being God's extensions. That is basically what we are doing here on earth. When we say things like we are God's vessels and we want to be vessels of honor, what we are saying is we want to be God's extension here on earth. God is extending his hand of provision, of protection, of preservation, whatever it is. God is doing, he has so much work that he's doing here on earth, but he can't come here to do it. That's why he has us. And he's actually here because we are here. Do you understand? God is here on earth because you and me, we are here on earth. And we are God's extension here on earth. So we need to like have that at the front of our mind. Like we are not just going through life by ourselves. We're not just doing things by ourselves. When we emphasize on being in the center of God's will, when we emphasize on doing things God's way, living life through God's lens, all we are saying is be God's extension. So coming back to what we're talking about today, Jochebed was God's extension of protection to Moses. Now there had been a decree, every male child would die. But when Jochebed gave birth to Moses, she knew that there was something special about her baby. And regardless of the instruction from Pharaoh to kill all male children, she knew that her case was different. And the moment she agreed to partner with God to be his extension on earth, God started to download the craziest idea and provided the means to execute. Because tell me how Jochebed hid a newborn for 3 months. Like, I really need answers, Auntie Jochebed. I need answers. If you're a mom here, you would understand. The newborn stage is the craziest stage, in my opinion. They said toddler stage is wild, but I've not gotten there yet. But in my opinion, the newborn stage is the craziest stage. My daughter is 9 months old, and let me tell you something. I still have PTSD whenever I see a newborn. That's a baby that is 3 months and younger. Because have you heard a newborn cry before? The pitch, the intensity, the length of their cries. Let's now insert colic into the mix. Let me tell you, when Ariel was younger, my daughter, she had colic. Now, colic is like a digestive system kind of thing. As the baby is growing, their system takes a while to adjust. So they get really uncomfortable when, for example, they have like excess gas in their tummy. Or to be honest, even medical doctors don't even know what causes colic or whatever. But when a baby has colic, they have excess gas in their tummy, they're uncomfortable. They can cry for hours. Did I even say cry? I meant wail. They can wail for hours. And clearly, Moses didn't have colic. Or let's just assume that their house was soundproof. But I still need answers, Sha. I still need answers from Mommy Moses. Because how did you hide a newborn for 3 months? It brings me back to what I said earlier. When you agree with God to be his extension on earth, no matter how difficult that situation you find yourself is in, God will download the craziest ideas and provide the means that you need. And Jochebed is a very clear example. Now let's move on to the next lesson. While we are still talking about crazy ideas, how did Jochebed think of floating her son in the river. Then how did she also think that Pharaoh's daughter would accept him? It seems like you're taking your child straight to the enemy. Pharaoh said, kill all male children. Jochebed said, I'll subtly take my child to Pharaoh. Like, it's not adding up. And I can imagine the amount of times she had played the scenario in her head before she eventually executed it. She probably have thought, oh, Pharaoh's daughter usually comes to have a bath around noon, so I'll take Moses and float him in a basket towards Pharaoh's daughter. Then my elder daughter would watch from a distance. And when Pharaoh's daughter has seen Moses, Miriam, which is Moses' elder sister, would ask, oh, ma'am, please, if you need someone to nurse the baby, I can get someone for you. And if she says yes, Miriam will run home and call Moses' mom. Like, how wild is that? Like, this is supposed to be a Netflix original. This storyline is supposed to be a Netflix original. Like, how wild was that? For Jochebed to think all of this through, and God clearly had given her all of these ideas and inspirations. Okay, do this like this. Go and put Moses at this particular time, and I would orchestrate everything. She would definitely have been scared. Like, so many things could have gone wrong. In verse 8, Pharaoh's daughter actually paid Moses' mother to raise Moses in the palace. How wild is that? Someone pays you to raise your own son. Moses' mom eventually became Moses' nanny, and she was with him throughout all the developmental stages, and that's how she was able to teach Moses the way of God and prepare him for the calling that God had over his life, right inside the Pharaoh's palace. I can't imagine the fear and the what ifs that would have filled Jochebed's mind when she planned on literally sacrificing her son in the river Nile, because everything could have gone wrong. Pharaoh's daughter might have decided not to have a bath that particular day, or not even be in a good mood and ignore the basket, or decided to take Moses straight to Pharaoh for him to be killed, because that was the degree. Like, Pharaoh had said, every male child you find, kill him. And Pharaoh's daughter could have decided to, oh, this is a Hebrew son, let me take him to my father. Or let's even say all of that did not happen, and Pharaoh's daughter was in a nice mood and she saw the baby and she had compassion. When Miriam showed up and said, oh, I have someone that can help you nurse the baby, Pharaoh's daughter could have said, oh, don't worry, I also have someone else that can nurse the baby. But with God, whatever you sacrifice would come back to you in a millionfold. There are no trade-offs with God, essentially. Like, you can literally eat your cake and have it. You can sacrifice your life. You can sacrifice your time. You can sacrifice that thing that looks like, oh, I really love this thing, I can't give it. You can sacrifice all of those things to God because you know that you would have it back. You know that, like, just even thinking about this again, it's just mind-blowing. It's just mind-blowing the way God works. Whatever you sacrifice would come back to you in a million folds. There are no trade-offs with God. You can get the best, the absolute best of both worlds. We sometimes see doing God's will or obeying God's instruction as a punishment. Oh, God is asking me to let go of this thing I love so much because he doesn't love me. I'm trying to think of what would have been in Jochebed's mind when God gave her the instruction and say, okay, go and float your baby in the river now. She'll be thinking, like, how? Like, that sounds crazy. The same river now where Pharaoh is throwing away all children, all the male children. The river now should even be smelling and stinking, filled with dead babies. But God is instructing me to go and float my baby there so that Pharaoh's daughter can see him. Like, those instructions that God gives us can look like a punishment. Like, God is punishing me. I've hid this child for 3 months. Now it seems like I'm just going to lose this child eventually. Whew. When we understand, like Jochebed, that God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, then we would say, yes, Lord. And we'll go ahead and sacrifice our Moses at the river Nile. Whatever your Moses is, whatever is that thing that it looks like, oh, once I give this thing away, I've lost it. Or once I sacrifice this thing, once I, in quotes, eat this thing up, I won't have it anymore. I have to trade this one off for something else. I have to trade my career for something else. I have to trade my business for something else. I have to trade my marriage for something else. You know this question that people usually ask, can you have it all? They usually ask women, because I rarely see them asking men that question. It's usually women they ask. In all this women conference, one person will ask that question. Can you have it all? Can you have a successful business and have a successful marriage? Can you have obedient children and have a good career? Can you do this one? Can you have that one? Can you have that one? With God, there are no trade-offs. If God has given you a successful business and he has given you an amazing husband and both of you have beautiful children, there are no trade-offs. You don't have to trade off your business for your marriage. You don't have to trade off your marriage for... You don't have to trade off anything. Yes, there'll be sacrifices. Yes, there'll be uncomfortable situations. Yes, there'll be times where you probably have to slow down on one part so that you can focus on the other part. But there are no trade-offs. You can eat your cake and have it. You can have the best of both worlds. God's plan, God's purpose for you is way bigger than whatever you are currently thinking of. So don't have that trade-off mentality. Don't have that, oh, once I sacrifice this one now to God, God is asking me to give him my time. Once I give God my time now, I won't have time to do other things in my life. I will lose out in other things. No. Once you understand, like Jochebed, that God's ways are not our ways, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, then we would say, yes, Lord, and we would sacrifice whatever our Moses is. We would sacrifice it at the river now, because we know that God would take that sacrifice. God would take that cake and give it back to us in multiple folds. Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get an amen? That brings me to the end of today's episode. I love how short and sweet today's episode is, and I want to believe that you love it too. So, my people, God is doing amazing work in our lives, and he just wants us to partner with him to be his extension here on earth. Yeah, that's our life calling. To be God's extension here on earth. In whatever way that expresses itself, that is the core of the, that's the core and the main reason why we are still here on earth, is to be God's extension here on earth. Whew, dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege to call you Papa, for the privilege to call you Abba, for the privilege to be your extension on earth. God, we thank you. Like, who are we that you are mindful of us? Who are we that you chose us to go on this journey with you, to partner with you on this journey? Papa, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because we know that no matter how crazy the situation is, just like Jochebed, we trust, we know that you have our best interest at heart, and your plans, your ways, your thoughts are way higher than we can imagine. The plans that you have for us are plans of peace to give us an expected end. The plans that you have for us are beyond our widest dreams and expectations. Like, our brain cannot even fathom it. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not come to the imagination of man. It has not come to the thought of man, the plans that you have for us. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, because we know that as we take this step, one step at a time, this journey through life, partnering with you, one step at a time, from fellowship to partnership, God and I, we will change the world. Papa, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. I hope it was uplifting. I hope it was inspiring. I hope it was edifying. And I cannot wait to see you in the next episode. If you have not shared the podcast yet, please and please, should I kneel down to beg you, please share the podcast with one person. If your to-do list, just write, share the Grace Up podcast with one person. That one person that you believe that this podcast will bless, just share the podcast with them.